If you're a fan of daily awesome pop culture t-shirts, Ripped Apparel has you covered, and you can use promo code ACTION at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's code ACTION at checkout on rippedapparel.com.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel pain. The knees hurt me.
I'm your huckleberry.
We need to see we cut the kick jack and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Ashcast, our podcast for November 6th, 2017. I'm your host, Zach. Just now we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hey.
And Tesla's out this week. Like, I don't know. Today we're recording this, so we're just like, Disney was just like dropping like bombs.
Absolutely.
In like the last like couple hours before we started recording here, so we'll talk about that stuff in a little bit here. And then speaking of Disney, I know Joe and I both saw Thor Ragnarok, so we'll talk about that later on in Show and Tell. And, yeah, so let's dive right in. And we'll kick things off like we usually do with trailers. We got quite a few trailers this week. We got a trailer for a new Starz show called Counterpart, which is going to star J.K. Simmons and J.K. Simmons.
Love it, love it.
So it's basically, like, J.K. Simmons works at this, like, UN agency somewhere, but then he finds out that the, like, this whole, like, agency is just, like, a front for this, like, passageway, or, like, this, like, hallway to another dimension, basically. Like, you walk down this hallway, you end up in, like, an alternate Earth. So then, like, his, like, double shows up, and then, claims there's, like, an assassin from his Earth going around murdering people on our Earth, so it's basically, like, did you J.K. Simmons team up, or, like, they gotta figure out what's going on?
That's cool.
It kind of reminds me a lot of, like, what Fringe did in, like, its, like, second season on, where they, like, because they set up this, like, alternate Earth, and it was, like, this, like, war between the two Earths and stuff. And there's all, like, doubles, and people were, like, pretending to be their doubles, and...
I'm excited for more, like, loophole cloning things where it's not, like, his past is coming to visit. It's like, no, here's, like, an alternate dimension version. The cool thing is that, like, it's an alternate dimension hopping killer. So it's not just, like, the concept of two J.K. Simmons. It's just, like, nah, we gotta solve a crime together.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, the one... Like, they're gonna have to, like, pretend to be each other, or, like, one's gonna go, like, the other Earth and, like, pretend to be that J.K. Simmons, or, like, try to fake themselves, and...
But the thing is, like, why pretend? Like, what's the difference?
Well, it seems like the one from, I'm assuming, our Earth is, like, kind of, like, a little bit more, like, nervous and, like, quiet, and the one that comes from the other Earth is, like, more confident and, like... More like J.K. Simmons-y, I guess. So,
I just like the concept that there's two J.K. Simmons running around trying to solve like alternate dimension. It's just funny that it's like it was just like it's in their basement of the building that's what he discovers there's like another version of him.
Yeah, there's just like a hallway you walk down and then you just end up in the other Earth. But yeah, it looks cool. It's sort of like, it's like Justin Timberlake in Social Network. It's like, what's cooler than one J.K. Simmons? Two J.K. Simmons. So that's going to be January 21st on Starz. You can take a look, check that out when it comes out. And then we also got a trailer for this crazy new app. It's also going to be an HBO show, I guess, next year. But right now it's an app for your iPhone or iOS device of choice, but it's from Steven Soderbergh. It's called Mosaic, and it's basically like a murder mystery, but you can, it's like, at certain points you can like, pick like where the story goes, or you can like rewind, like jump around and like look at documents and like just like totally like go, like do whatever you want with the story. And it's got, like Sharon Stone stars in it, and who else is it? Garrett Hedlund from Tron Legacy, and a bunch of other people. Like Paul Rubens is in this. Beau Bridges. Yeah, basically what happens is like you watch a scene and then kind of like two more scenes, like you can like just two like next scenes you can pick, or like what kind of like where you want the story to go, and you pick the one you want to like see next, and then they'll go to that one. But then you can like there's also like emails you can like dig into and like voicemails from characters, so, and then you can sort of like get like the whole picture of what's going on. But then I think it's just like when it's on HBO, it's just gonna be like a straightforward like show, which is kind of weird, but.
Well, the thing, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, if you got a lot of free time to find entertainment, this is for you. But if you're just looking for, like, quick entertainment, it's not. It's a cool concept.
It's a free app, so.
Yeah, but if you want to be entertained, it's like, do you want to work for it, or do you just want to be entertained?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're making the show based on it, so it's really good viral marketing, I guess, but. I don't know, maybe because I just have a busy schedule lately that I just have no time to, like, read emails, be like, okay, now I gotta, like, watch this picture show and, like, put it together.
I don't know, yeah, it's kind of cool, it's, like, a cool idea, and if you have an iPhone or something, it's free, so you just check it out if you want. If you're a fan of Steven Soderbergh stuff. And then we also got the final trailer for Hey Arnold, the Jungle Movie, which is going to be out November 24th, so super soon. It's going to be Thanksgiving weekend on Nickelodeon, and then the Nickelodeon app, and on the Nickelodeon website. So really, anything all Nickelodeon, all Nickelodeons. Okay. And it's going to be it's probably going to be the definitive like series finale, but then. If interest is high enough, maybe there'll be a new season, apparently, but, the Jungle Movie, cool. It's gonna basically, like, kind of answer the, like, lingering questions of Hey Arnold, like, the main one, which is, like, what happened to Arnold's parents?
And then, like, how does the two grandparents own this duplex, or, like, this apartment?
Mm-hmm.
How much they're charging for rent? I have no idea.
So Jungle Movie, like the whole kind of like the whole gang is going to San Lorenzo in like South America, and then Arnold kind of like I guess in the there was like the Hey Arnold movie in 2002, I think at one point in the show like he found like a map that his parents left him in a journal, of like it's like it was like San Lorenzo into the jungle, so like it's basically like Arnold's following this map and like ends up with like this like crazy like Indiana Jones style temple, and then like they're like going through like and solving puzzles and stuff, and then 19 of the cast members are back to like voice the various characters. Some people grew up and like couldn't do the voices anymore, or some people died, so it's just like there's like a few people like a few people had to get filled in for like new, then they'll probably sound weird, but like most of the cast is back. And then Craig Bartlett, who created the show, is producing and writing or wrote the movie, so
yeah. I mean, it's good that like they are honoring it, so it's not just like this like shameless like reboot with people we don't know.
Yeah, it's not like a reboot Hey Arnold for, like, the new kids who are watching whatever the hell's on Nickelodeon. Or, like, that Legend in Temple movie that they did, like, what was that, like, the summer or, like, last year or whatever?
Wow. I forgot that was a thing.
That's, yeah.
Can you find that online somewhere? Is that, like, a thing?
I'm sure you can, but I've never looked.
Maybe it's on Nickelodeon.com or something. You can probably watch it, but... Yeah, this is picking up from where the movie left off and the show. So, if you're a Hey Arnold fan, this is kind of like a must watch over Thanksgiving weekend. And so, other stuff. We got the first trailer for The Post, which is going to be. Probably an Oscar juggernaut, because it is the combining forces between Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, and Meryl Streep.
Yeah, just take the fucking awards.
Yeah. And it's set in the '70s. It's basically like it's around like the Watergate scandal and like the Washington Post's efforts to like publish the Pentagon Papers and get like the story out there, and then like the government sued them, so like they had to like face off against the government in court to like keep their right to like actually publish the news and not get like censored by the government. And then also, and then the Washington Post was also like the newspaper that like Woodward and Bernstein were working for, so they're like, so they're doing that like their thing at this time. So, and yeah, and then just like the like supporting cast. So yeah, I mean, just Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks alone is like insanity, but then like the supporting cast is also like just like nuts, like. So you have Alison Brie, Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Paulson, Bruce Greenwood, Matthew Rhys, Bradley Whitford, Zach Woods, Michael Stuhlbarg, Jesse Plemons, and David Cross.
Yeah, it's a full cast.
I guess David Cross just kind of got himself in there.
Well, Bob Odenkirk was just like, you can't get me without him.
No, I know, but it's old, I mean, both of them, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping he's in it as Tobias Funke.
but
yeah, Pelican Dream.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be out in limited release on December 22nd to get that Oscar contention, and then it's going to be everywhere January 12th.
Yeah, it's got like Oscar baity things about it,
mm-hmm.
and you don't just have this awesome team up and not go for awards.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like it's serious Spielberg. It's not fun Spielberg. This is like
it's not Tom Hanks like going like, we're gonna make magic and fun. It's just like
he is doing like a like crazy accent.
It's like Virginian accent, I guess.
I guess, yeah, like, or like, yeah, some sort of like DC accent, I guess. I don't know. But what was it? What was it? Bridge of Spies. Was that like 2 years ago? Like this is like that kind of Spielberg. So we also speaking of crazy casts, we also got the trailer for Pottersville last week, which has somehow assembled a crazy cast for what looks like just I don't even know how this is a movie or what this movie is or like. Like, was there blackmail involved? Like, what is... So, there's Michael Shannon, and he finds out that his wife is a furry and cheating on him, and then he gets drunk and runs into the woods in a gorilla costume, and then now everything's just a Bigfoot running around their town. And then a, like, reality show shows up and starts, like, looking for Bigfoot.
I love it.
I just, like... The concept of making these A-list actors just... And I think you said it perfectly. Like, being a Lifetime movie.
It's like a Hallmark Christmas movie, or like a Freeform like original movie, or like Lifetime.
I don't think this is coming to theaters, right? I think it has to be straight to DVD.
Oh, we'll start a petition.
Because the cover of it should not be...
It's like, it's so horribly photoshopped, and like...
It's like clips. It's Michael Shannon from like Superman. Like,
and there's like photoshopped like an apron over him.
It's just like all the shots are just not right. It's a funny concept as like a movie starring nobody you know, but it's like everyone we know.
Yeah, it's Michael Shannon, Ron Perlman, Christina Hendricks, Judy Greer, Tom Lennon, and Ian McShane.
Yeah.
In this, like, knockoff weird Hallmark movie. Like. Well, I'm sure. I'm going to guess Ian McShane's in it for, maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Because I'm just like, this is not it. Right? But, geez. Yeah, it's a movie that we just. You feel is, like, either. What's that term when you make a terrible movie on purpose for tax purposes?
Yeah, this has to be some sort of like weird like Russian tax shelter.
Tax shelter. Like, yeah, this is like everything about it is a tax shelter.
Or someone just has like incriminating photos of like every single person in this cast.
Because like there's just besides the actor, like the acting is the only part. The actors are the only part that is like A-list quality. Mm-hmm. The set, the camera, the art. The costumes are all like high school play.
The music in the trailer, like that's like the most like generic like free music library music. Like,
yeah, it is like all the tones you would expect for like these scenes. And it's just like I'm so amazed of like wow, who made this movie?
Mm-hmm.
How did like I understand this is like a young director, but then it's like how did a young director rope in all these people? And then if it's a veteran director, how does this veteran director just, like, do this? You know, like, it's just, like, so many questions.
It's like, how do you get one person, one of those people in this movie, let alone all of them?
I mean, there's a few movies like that where we talked about where there basically was, like, someone got stuck in an elevator somewhere and made a promise or something, and just, like, now they're calling it back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, so this possibly might come out by the end of this year. Who knows? It seems like it's Christmas themed, at least from the poster. But I don't think it has anything really to do with Christmas. But it's, I guess maybe it's set during Christmas time. But so maybe it'll come out like around like December sometime. Who knows? IMDb doesn't know. So, and I think the trailer just says coming soon too. So. So, anyway, our last trailer for the week is that we got the first trailer for Game Night, which is coming in March next year. And it's basically, do you guys remember the Michael Douglas movie, The Game?
Yep.
It's basically like, what if that got combined with, like, Horrible Bosses?
Yeah, that's actually a really good, like, a good analogy. I saw that. I was like, I've seen this movie before, even though it's new.
But there's no clown doll.
Mm-hmm.
From the game.
Yep.
Guys.
Yep.
Yes.
So.
Yep. Yep.
It's been a while. It's been a while. But yeah, anyway, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams are one of the couples who are having like their weekly game night, and then Jason Bateman's brother, who's played by Kyle Chandler, shows up and is like, "Hey, we're gonna do this murder mystery game," and then he gets kidnapped by like armed thugs, and it's like that's the game is like find out who kidnapped him. And then everyone isn't sure, like, what's real and what's not real for this game. Like, is everything part of the game, or, like, is this actually a kidnapping?
I mean...
And there's, like, real guns, real guns involved, because, like, at one point Jason Bateman shoots himself, or, like, Rich McAdams accidentally shoots him in the arm.
But at one part, I was like, all right, now you're just, like, stupid white people, because they're just, like, so oblivious, and I'm like, God damn. They're pulling that, like, dinner date movie.
Date night.
You know, it's got that vibe of just like two couples who normally don't do a lot and they go out and it's just like, oh, now we're doing everything.
This is so crazy.
We could have been home solving like a jigsaw puzzle. Haha.
We could have been playing charades.
Yeah. So I don't mind this. I just have no need to like see this in theaters.
No, nothing like there was nothing was like particularly like hilarious, like it seems alright, like it's Jason Bateman, like I'll probably see it at some point, but yeah, definitely not like a rush out to the theater. And it's from the guys who made the Vacation reboot, so that also does not really set a high bar, but but yeah, it's gonna be March 2nd next year, so kind of seems like a little like it's like, I don't know like what the best time for like trailers to come out like, but that seems like a little bit seems like it's like kind of like early for that, like
I feel like it's like a midsummer movie where between big blockbusters you just want to see like an R-rated comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult to like push that out there and just be like, all right, like you've seen like moms go crazy, you've seen like. Like dads go crazy. Now watch like young, like a middle aged couple like go crazy on a game night. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So moving on to other news, Disney was dropping some news bombs earlier tonight when we're recording this, especially on the Star Wars side of things. So they confirmed that a live action Star Wars show is going to be part of their 2019 streaming service. I don't know. It's not clear if it's going to actually be in 2019, but one of the original shows on that streaming service is going to be a live action Star Wars show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'm not sure. Like the whole Disney streaming service seems a little bit iffy to begin with. Like, just because we didn't know, okay, other than maybe Disney television content and then the animated movies, like, what are they really going to have?
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, now we kind of think we might know. You know, like it seems really expansive now.
Yep.
Like, once you bring Star Wars into it, like, now you've got a whole different audience segment. And if they're doing, like, a Netflix-style Star Wars show, you know what I'm saying? That's live action, like, mm-hmm. goddamn, is that a huge win. Like, people will absolutely do the free trial just to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it was something awesome, like a Republic Commando show or something, or, like, I don't know, like some crazy like Old Republic or something. Like,
it certainly could be.
I forget, because they've been talking about a live action Star Wars show for like years. But I forget. I think basically kind of what they were talking about turned into like Star Wars Rebels, because they're talking about this live action show. There's gonna be like,
that makes sense.
like the building of the rebellion,
right?
So they also announced that Rian Johnson, who directed the upcoming Last Jedi, is gonna be basically the head of this, like, a new trilogy of Star Wars movies that aren't gonna be part of the like Skywalker saga. Like, new characters, yay. new unexplored area of the Star Wars universe.
The seedy underbelly of mm-hmm. Star Wars universe.
Yeah, let's go into those lower levels of Coruscant and get get gritty.
Like, I mean, there's so many
Jawa slavery.
There's so many like awesome tales from the comics that don't involve like Jedi's and.
But isn't none of that shit canon anymore, according to Disney, or like majority of it?
The vast majority just.
But you could bring stuff back in and like remake it.
Sure.
Canon, like they did that with like Thrawn and. Thrawn's like the only thing, actually big thing that came back from like the.
No, you definitely Legends universe. I think they just clean slated it because they wanted to have carte blanche. You know, they wanted to be able to do whatever the fuck they wanted, and not have people complain because they said, "Oh well, we erased everything."
Yeah, everything is Legends now. Before, right.
Sure.
Anything like pre like the like Force Awakens like novels that came out, like those were the first like new canon stuff.
Yeah.
Come on, Kyle Katarn.
God, yeah.
The dead.
I mean, he didn't steal the Death Star's plans anymore, but like, yeah, bring it back do something else.
Yeah, you know why? Because he would have gotten off that goddamn planet at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He did it by himself.
Dark Forces, he did it by himself. Just, like, blasting through an entire facility.
Again, he just ran up, did it, and just left. Didn't have to sacrifice a whole thing. He didn't have to mm-hmm. spark a whole rebellion by accident.
Yep. But yeah, so I think we gotta see, like, Last Jedi to, like really figure out, like, how excited we need to be for this Star Wars, like, new Star Wars trilogy that's not part of anything, but I mean, Rian Johnson is an awesome director, so whatever he's working on is probably going to be good, so. And then, on the other, kind of like good news, bad news sort of thing, apparently, I was trying to figure it out, it doesn't seem like, it's not clear if it's like, there's no more Netflix shows at all, like, until the streaming service launches, or like, new, like, when the streaming service launches, they're not going to be on Netflix, but basically, like, the news was like that, like the Netflix Marvel shows, like once this streaming service launches, they're going to be on that, not Netflix. But then it seemed like a lot of people were like wording it like no more new Netflix Marvel shows after like so like no like Daredevil season 3 or like Luke Cage. Well, I think they're like definitely working on like Luke Cage season 2 and Jessica Jones season 2. I don't know when those will like air, but or like launch. But I guess if it's after 2019, they won't be on Netflix. They'll be on Disney service.
So let's break this down. Netflix is already doing, like you said, those seasons, right? That are being filmed right now.
Yep.
So with no Disney streaming service to speak of, I don't think they have anything to worry about just yet. I think what's going to happen is they're going to do one more season of each. They'll probably want to do a season 2 of Punisher if they could do a quick turnaround on it, but they'll definitely do Daredevil season 3, Luke Cage season 2, Jessica Jones season 2, Iron Fist, for better or for worse. Yeah.
Send Iron Fist first to Disney.
yeah. Test the waters out a little bit, right? This one's free, kids. Come on over. But I think there won't be any question about that. But then once the service starts kind of coming together and gets up and running, then I think they'll make sure that all the new seasons going forward aren't on Netflix, but on the Disney exclusive streaming service. And then at that point, it's a tough call, because I feel like if Netflix is distributing, they're not just distributing. So in other words, it's not just like, you know, your movie is available on Cinemax for this month, mm-hmm. and then it goes to Showtime. This is like actually being produced by Netflix. So I would have to imagine that they would at least retain, not broadcast rights, but, you know, streaming rights or whatever for those first seasons of those shows. So mm-hmm. everything up to this point. And then maybe that would last like, I don't know, a year or something. I'm just spitballing here, but I couldn't imagine it being just one day all of a sudden, like, the Disney service launches, and then all of a sudden Netflix has no Marvel shit. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think it'll be a slow phase out. But then eventually it'll all just be Disney.
And they also said they're going to, like, price it lower. It's going to be, like, lower price than Netflix. But then as they add content, the price might go up, but...
So like Netflix.
Yeah. But if it's like $5 a month to start or something, like I'm on board for the Disney streaming service.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends. It depends on what they have. I mean, here's the thing, like if I was a single 30-year-old dude, do what I need to pay to have the Disney streaming service if it's just animated Disney movies and like, you know, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck? Probably not. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'd check it out, the free trial and all that stuff, but like, you know, if they are going to have the Marvel content, if they are going to have you know, the new live action Star Wars and the Disney classic content and then the movies and everything on top of that, well, mm-hmm. shit, now you're talking about, you know, something that you can really enjoy, especially if you're going to have, you know, if you have kids or whatever, you really can't go wrong with that, because Redbox is convenient because it's at the grocery store or Walmart or wherever you're going for it. But I mean, $3 a day, that shit adds up, mm-hmm. especially because, you know, not that you can't afford $3, but I mean, like with Netflix, I've had Baby Driver sitting in my living room for 2.5 weeks now. And I'm like, I can afford not to watch it, you know, but with, you know, the shit that you pay for per night, like, in other words, a lot of these damn kids didn't grow up with Blockbuster. They don't understand what it's like to the anxiety of trying to play through a game in 2 days, mm-hmm. you know, 3 days. Chris, you know what that's like. Or it's mm-hmm. like, fuck, I gotta get this back. So, yeah, that's one big benefit. For the cost of a Redbox, basically, you're getting a month at Disney. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a passive parent, that's pretty good.
They need to put some like weird like old stuff, like crazy old stuff on like that Disney stream, like like the old like 90s like specials. Like,
yeah,
like they're like like all like when like Splash Mountain launched, they had like insane special or like Ernest Splash Mountain stuff. Like,
oh my god,
get that stuff
yes.
on there.
Just a bunch of promotional things. Yeah, I don't mind watching that because there's an audience for it.
There's like that weird. I think it was like the like. I think we, Chris, you and I think we watched it. The one where like the it was like the 20th anniversary of Disney World, like 25th anniversary of Disney World. Like the family goes to like Disney World and like doesn't go.
Michael Keaton shows up.
Yeah, Michael Keaton shows up. Yeah, and then like it's just like there's like
it was some anniversary of Disney, but it was also like the third year of Disney World. So they're trying to promote like Disney World's a thing. Check this shit out.
But it was weird because like they don't do anything Disney World really. They just do extraneous Disney World. They never go on, like, any rides.
They don't talk about all the promotions. They just talk about, check out this hotel, look what you can do. Yeah,
they go to the hotel, they go, like, the golf course, they go, like, the swimming pool, they go shopping. It's like,
they go
guys,
eating.
It's a theme park, guys. Like, there's rides here.
But the thing of it back in the 80s was, like, resorts. Like, that was a resort. So that was, like, things you didn't have to, like, sit on a ride. So that's why I understood that as, like, oh, check out the resort part of the park. But, you know, resorts these days, like, that's why you don't see a lot of commercials for resort parts. It's like spa and, like, your hotel room. Like, that's the resort, quote-unquote. Mm. Where in the 80s, it was like, check out all this luxury. Like, you can do this without running into so many people. Like, that's the luxury of it. I'm like, oh, assholes. Because, you know why? Because, like, Disney back then cost a dickload of money. Like, it still is, but, like, that's 80s money, you know? Like...
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's, like, not crowded. But now it's, like, they made it affordable. You know, I'm like, now it's, like, super crowded.
But, man, yeah, if they put stuff like that on that streaming service, oh, man.
So, like, one more thing to add to this. I own a, like, promotional Disney thing back in, like, 1991 that is super weird now because it was, like, Christopher Columbus. And it's like that's the mascot for it, like rediscovering Disney. That's like the slogan, and it's really like upsetting now, knowing what we know now, knowing what the world is with Christopher Columbus stuff. It's 5 times more hilarious. So if they ever have the balls to put that on their streaming service, I would pay to watch that again in like HD quality. Just like the outrage is like, what? Why are they promoting? Because think about it. When's the last time you heard Christopher Columbus is a hero? You haven't in the last, like, 4 years. But at one point, Disney was, like, mascotting him, and they were like, now you can't. People will destroy statues of it.
Put up that weird, like, 90s Earth Day special they did, where, like, Emilio Estevez is talking about acid rain.
What?
They did, like, this whole, like, Earth... I think it was an Earth Day special, but there's like one segment where like Emilio Estevez is like in a field being like, "Acid Rain. It's not just a new punk band. Like it's not just a new grunge band out of Seattle. It's a serious condition."
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. They need to make more of those PSAs or put them back on. But like,
well, it was like 80s and 90s. Like if you were on an ABC show, like you were just like.
Contracted to be on a PSA.
Oh, like you had to be in like 4 or 5 Disney specials, like shifted off to Disney, like for like the Easter parade every year, or like just like random specials.
Yeah, they don't do that a lot these days.
No,
it's a missing trend.
Regis running around just going nuts at the Easter parade. Just like, yeah, cause, like. It was just like Regis, like in the crowd, just like yelling at people, like "Where are you from?" Anyway, moving on to other news. Apparently, Black Adam might debut for the DCEU in Suicide Squad 2.
Franchise Viagra.
Yeah, I guess there's talks that like maybe like a cameo, like having like. Introduced The Rock's Black Adam in Suicide Squad 2, and then he would be in his own movie sometime.
He's the villain, right? He's not just gonna try to be the Santa hero?
You know, he is the Suicide Squad.
Just him? Like, he murders everyone in the Suicide Squad, and just like, I'm the squad now.
Yeah. I am the Squad now.
He's gonna be like, I think in his movie he's gonna be more of like an anti-hero, but then like he's gonna fight Shazam. we assume later.
Maybe.
Yeah, they can't make him be like not an evil genie. It's weird for him to like be like, oh no, I'm gonna teach these kids how to read.
Some outside forces can be like attacking like whatever, like was it Kandar or whatever his city is, and then like he'll be like defending it or something.
Oh my god, they're trying to make him like the Scorpion King?
Probably, yeah.
He's like a bad guy only in our eyes, but in reality he's just like a tormented soul.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it will be like Scorpion King, where like it'll be set in like Egypt, like it'll be like,
yeah,
like ancient Egypt times, and then modern Black Adam's like a villain, but like back then he wasn't a villain, or something turns him into a villain.
He's Scorpion Kinging him again.
Yep.
Where it's like, did you Suicide Squad as like he's an ancient Egypt, like Egyptian, like demon, but then like it's a flashback where he once was a good guy that had to sell his soul to the devil to like, you know, get the power to fight off like another evil. It's just like, once you know that, you really he's not that bad.
Get Godsmack on the phone.
And get Godsmack for the fucking Shazam song.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it, I think. I feel like that sums up everything. But I don't know how likely this is, in all honesty, just because I don't know if you guys read that that story that was circulating where they were basically saying, where WB was basically saying that 2018 now is going to be like a rebuilding year for the DC cinematic universe. And that they're going to stop trying to connect everything as much, and they're just going to let it... I mean, we knew that this was coming. They're focused on, like, director-driven one-off sort of movies. So I don't know. Like, I still obviously think that a Black Adam movie is happening. Obviously, Shazam is happening, but I don't know the likelihood of Black... In light of that news, I don't know the likelihood of Black Adam making his debut in Suicide Squad 2, of all things.
Yeah.
If we even get a Suicide Squad 2, if we even get Gotham City Sirens, like all these different things that were supposed to be happening, you know?
Yeah. Well, Suicide Squad 2 is going to start production in October next year, so...
Maybe.
And they got Gavin O'Connor from Director of The Accountant directing, so...
Yeah, right now... I mean, Ben Affleck was supposed to, you know, direct the Batman, but shit goes bad. And I feel like we're going to know a lot by the end of next weekend, you know, with the Justice League movie.
So, we also got some Amazon news. So they picked up the adaptation of The Boys, which is the next Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg comic adaptation, for 8 episodes on Amazon Video.
I mean, I'll watch anything on Amazon Video once. Check it out, you know?
It's basically going to be, like, because they already did, it's their follow-up to Preacher, which was another Garth Ennis book that they adapted, so... Although now since this is an Amazon, it's probably gonna be possibly even like more insane than Preacher.
They certainly could if they wanted to.
Does Amazon have like a violent TV show?
Not yet. Not like anything like really over the top. But they certainly could. I mean, I think Ozark is like a great blueprint for them because it was a very, very violent show. It just wasn't, you know, like an action series. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a drama, but like when it got violent, it got fucking brutal. So I think that's more their wheelhouse, probably. But shit, you got to move into it sometime. I think Jean-Claude Van Johnson is going to be
hopefully 80s, old core 80s, old school 80s, crazy gore, like
action comedy kind of thing. That'd be great. But The Boys, I feel like, is going to be violent, and it's good. It should be violent because it's about like a group that hunts down like other heroes. So it should be like not a hey, we hit you with a pillow, you're in time out. Like, you know, like, the first season's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like that, where they kind of just, like, I don't know, like, put people to sleep a lot. That's all I remember for the first season.
Yeah, they had ice guns, and now they just have, like, fucking regular guns, and, like, Ghost Riders are just, like, burning people to death, so. So also at Amazon, and definitely way crazier than The Boys show, is apparently they're going to be rebooting Lord of the Rings into a TV show.
It's appropriate time. It's been, like, 15 years.
When was Return of the King?
2004?
2003. So...
What? Really?
Almost. Yeah, it'll be over 15 years.
Not bad, considering that, like, you know, freaking Spider-Man got rebooted, like, three times. Like 2 years? So, yeah, 2 years, so totally fine with, like, another one.
But yeah, like, I don't, like, I mean, I guess they can add stuff from the books that they had to cut out of the show, like Tom Bombadil or something, but, like...
There's a few things that's great about that, and then there's a few things where Tolkien just, like, tripped balls and just wrote, like, crazy-ass chapters, and now we got, mm-hmm. like, Tom Bombadil. And the Silmarillion is, again, great reference, horrible to, like, it's disjointed. It's one of those things where you shouldn't read it the first time, because you'll never get done with the goddamn story. And now that, like, Game of Thrones is coming to an end, you know, like, there's a deadline on it, Lord of the Rings could take up that, like, time and just kind of go off in tangents.
Oh, yeah, this is 100% Amazon being like, we need our Game of Thrones.
And that's fine, because their smartest thing is that it takes them, like, a year to tell, like, just a quarter of their story. And if it picks up well, they can just keep on doing this until the end of time, basically, because they can just rant. If they can make The Hobbit become four movies, and those three movies, right? And then those three movies become, like, I don't know, like seasons, TV show seasons? That's hours and hours of just craziness. Now, that's another thing.
I could probably definitely see them doing, like, two seasons a book, maybe. Like, two seasons for, like, Fellowship, two seasons for Two Towers, two seasons for Return of the King.
Return of the King actually is supposed to be longer, right? Isn't that, like... In the movie, it seems like they got everything done in, like... And, you know, like, every movie feels like they got things done within, like, a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, like, in the story, it's, like, months go by. I don't know.
I wonder who they would cast, too, because, like... Like the Peter Jackson cast is, like, so iconic. Yep. It's like
the cool thing is that like there was sort of like the cartoon version that was kind of like what they just had to beat, and that was like the mm-hmm. the cartoon version was like the low standard because it was just like weirdly done, more appropriate to what the story was kind of looking like, but it was not pretty. Like, I don't know. I kind of hated the character design from the animation.
They should bring back the weird theme song that South Park turned into Lemmywinks. Like, they should make that the theme song for the show.
Wait, was that like a Lord of the Rings reference?
I think it was the Hobbit or like the Lord of the Rings, like the Ralph Bashke.
Yeah, that sounds
cartoon.
Yeah,
like they had like a theme song that was like a great adventure is for you ahead, and then South Park turned into Lemmywinks.
Ah, I didn't know that. See, like, if they turned to something like that, I could see fans rioting. I could see people, like, burning their local Amazon factories down.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough nerds that love Lord of the Rings that they see that again, they'll just be like, light the torches.
But yeah, so what do they see? I'm sure it seems like that's, like, pretty far off. It's as far as, like, actually coming out, so.
Yeah, but the hype's strong. And, mm-hmm. you know, Lord of the Rings series, at least the original trilogy, super classic, where The Hobbit mm-hmm. still hasn't proved itself yet. So, if they start with the Lord of the Rings regular, that's fine. But if they go back to Hobbit, just like, Jesus, that's a little too soon.
Yeah, do Fellowship, and then, like, do, like, next season, like, The Hobbit or something.
Going crazy. I think, original story in the first season. That'd be like really piss them off.
Yeah. it's in the future and there's robots. So, anyway, last bit of news this week is that the Dark Universe seems like it might be already dead.
It got too dark.
Yeah. So, Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan, who are kind of like running the whole Dark Universe franchise, left the project. So there's basically no one running the Dark Universe.
So there's that.
And then they also, like, next movie, Bride of Frankenstein, is like on indefinite hiatus, or like indefinite pre-production. So.
So that's crazy. Where like it was a script, and then they were trying to make it, and it just died in the script phase, or like they didn't like was anything written.
So they had a script, they hated it, rewrote it, went with something that they still didn't like, put it into pre-production. Now it's supposed to start. I mean, it was supposed to start shooting, I thought, or production was supposed to begin in October.
Yeah. And then Universal postponed it and said, like, everyone go home. Like,
yeah, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, we need another month. This is just like, this is not happening. Pack your bags.
Mm-hmm. Give us back the wigs and the costumes.
Yeah, exactly.
And they never like officially confirmed like Angelina Jolie was going to be the bride. Like Javier Bardem was Frankenstein's monster, but then that's the person who was like casted it. And then,
well, then they put out that stupid fucking like Photoshop picture. Cast photo of all them, like,
mm-hmm.
where no one was in the same room together. They just pasted them into one picture. I was like, why would they do that? It was just so bizarre.
It's like, did they think, like, oh, it was a cool party, and he just came to this room and did a shoot? It's like,
Yeah, but, like, it made no sense, because, like, Johnny Depp is wearing, like, a nice suit. Like, he looks like he's in a GQ photo shoot, and then, like, Tom Cruise looks like he literally just, like, showed up. Like, he's wearing jeans and, like, a black shirt, you know? Like, and that's fine, like, he looks good, because he's Tom Cruise, but it's just, like, it's just so out of place, it's like, you guys weren't all at the same thing, like, for sure, like, you're all in different parts of the world, having your pictures taken, and they mashed it into some weird, like, fucking family photo collage thing. It was very
some
bizarre.
Sears photo.
Yeah, it was very, very bizarre, but, you know, and this whole thing was weird. The whole thing was weird. I understand wanting to do a shared universe for the Universal monsters, but, like, just the way they were approaching it was so bizarre. I mean, I think it was Variety. It was either the Variety or the Hollywood Reporter that had basically the exclusive on this, then other outlets picked it up. But they were saying, like, I didn't know that the Universal lot actually built offices, like, that were dedicated to the Dark Universe. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, they actually re-renovated these offices that weren't being used, and, like, everything's, like, monster-themed, and it's, like, super elaborate, and now it's just, like, empty, like, because no one works anymore. So, like, interns and shit are going in there, like, oh my god, it's, like, an abandoned, like, Disney ride, where it's, like, we're not supposed to find this, but just, like, everything's here. Like, no one packed their desks. It's just, like, people's desks are still there, like, as is.
There's, like, an old sandwich that, like, someone was about to eat.
Right, someone went out to have a cigarette and, like, came back, and that half a sandwich is just never going to be finished now. So, yeah, I mean, that was a bizarre thing. The premise was bizarre. The Mummy was fucking super bizarre. Like, I don't know where they were going to... where they thought they were going to go with Bride of Frankenstein. Like, especially to have Bride before just regular-ass Frankenstein. Like,
well, I mean...
She's a secret agent.
They've been trying to do Frankenstein movies for so long, and it doesn't click with our culture. And then, like, I could see them trying to do the Bride first, and then... I don't know. I still like my Bride's, like, giant and freakish. I don't want her to be, like, a normal woman with, like, light scars. That's just weird.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but the more I thought about I, Frankenstein, the more I was like, okay, like, I could see over time Frankenstein just kind of figured out how to, like, sort of be human. And he picked up kung fu.
And he learned, like, kendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, ripped ass abs for a dead guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it was too far-fetched where, like, if they just dumped him into the Dark Universe without any kind of pretense, like, yep, you remember that one-time movie? Yeah, here he is again. Like, alright, cool. Because I also thought, like was the Dracula movie supposed to be related to this movie, too?
So,
well, it kicked it off.
Dracula Untold was supposed to be, like, the kickoff of, like, the, like, shared universe, but then it failed horribly, so, like, no, the Mummy's the kickoff of the shared universe.
I was confused, too, where it's like, this wasn't its first failure, it's, like, a couple failures now.
Because Dracula Untold had, like, the, like, right before the credits, they had, like, the, like, it's in modern day now! There's, like, one scene where, like, Dracula's, like, in, like, modern day London, and then, so that was supposed to be, like, the kickoff of, like, and now we have modern day monsters.
Yeah, I was like so confused. I was like, did we all just forget? Like, if even this fails, it's kind of like the second failure. Then is the Dracula movie just apparently was not catching?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I thought, listen, The Mummy wasn't good, but it was fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was fun to see in the theater. Some of the action sequences were cool. It was stupid fun, but like, you could not support a franchise on that, you know? Like, maybe a direct Mummy sequel, but, like, starting a shared universe based on that movie? Like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tough sell. That is a tough, tough sell. And I'm a horror fan, and I'm like, God damn, you guys, are you sure about this? So, yeah, it's sad, because I, you know, would rather see them get made and have them be bad than not see them get made. You know what I mean? Because now I don't know when the next time we're going to get a fucking Frankenstein movie is going to be. You know?
I don't know. I feel like, on top of that, I just want to see a horror movie with a classic monster that's not supposed to be like a universal building one. I kind of, right. If they just try baby steps, crazy concept, I know. But just say, like, hey, here's a Frankenstein, here's a werewolf monster movie that doesn't... Well, actually, no, the werewolf movie wasn't so bad.
The Wolfman with, like, Anthony Hopkins and...
It was a good cast, and, like, no one...
They tried. They tried. Listen, they tried.
Yeah.
So if they can do that with, like, the monster from Black Lagoon, you know, like, something like that, where it's, like, just here's a horror movie. Here's a simple monster, and it pops out, and it scares you. That's it.
Yeah. Make them horror movies and not crazy, like... Action adventure.
It becomes like their superhero movie where it's like, yeah, they got the formula. We should all tie it in and it'll make no goddamn sense. And it's like, we understood where you're going, but you went too far off.
I think the way to tie it together with Dr. Jekyll, like, I don't think that was executed very well, and I think we all would agree after seeing The Mummy, but like, I think that the idea is logical. Like, I could understand him maybe realizing that he's a monster of some, you know what I mean, that like he's some abomination of humanity or some freak science experiment or whatever, and in the search for a cure he finds out about some, you know, German doctor who sought to bring the dead back to life. Like, I could understand that kind of snowballing, and then you have this almost weird Indiana Jones type thing where he's, like, looking into the legends. But even that, like, as I'm saying it, like, I don't think there's a cool way to do that without it becoming cheesy. You know, and at the same time, you don't want it to be Men in Black for horror, where it's like, we have an agency that investigates this stuff. Like, oh, do you?
They did that in The Mummy, where it's like...
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no... I'm saying, like, there is no cool way to... Like, eventually it's going to become retarded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jekyll being the thing that ties them together, okay, not a bad idea, but now how does it play out? And the deeper you go into it, the more it's like, I don't know. Like, and what does he do? Well, he takes a private jet to Transylvania... okay.
And also, he's the worst person to put in charge because he has to take this, injection every couple
hours. Maybe he doesn't, he becomes a mind bomb. Machine.
Because if his blood sugar drops, he turns into the Hulk. Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the Hulk isn't in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, that...
Right!
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. I'm sure there is a way to do a shared universe. I don't know that they could have, like, team-ups necessarily. You know, like, I don't think you're going to get a Justice League with the Dark Universe, or let's just call them what they are, the Universal Monsters. I don't...
Yeah, if this had been like a huge success, like what was the end game though? Like they were going to team up to fight Dracula or something?
Jesus. Like I have no idea.
Yeah.
But listen, all's I'm getting at is that I don't think you need to team them up. I think you can make, as Chris was saying, standalone movies that are very well executed, and perhaps then you have nods of some kind. Like you can have a Dracula movie, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, you can have a Frankenstein movie that's a badass Frankenstein movie that references Count Dracula or, you know, the Transylvania murders or something like that. You know, you can reference that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun little thing for the fans, but that doesn't mean that Dracula is going to show up and fucking bite people on the neck during that movie. By that same token, maybe you do Bride of Frankenstein and you don't necessarily have Frankenstein's monster return for that, but you can mention, like, oh yeah, like, he tried this once before, that crazy son of a bitch. You know? I just feel like it's too hard to pull off.
Yeah, apparently the only good thing that came about from the Dark Universe so far is that Mummy Demastered.
Yeah, the Castlevania-type game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could just keep making... like those, that would be great. They just made like all the Dark Universe movies that were planned out, just release them as those side scrollers and we'll be all set.
You're just playing as like an agent, just like fight, let's just like every, you're just fighting every monster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
mm-hmm. So so that's it for news this week. So while we dive into show and tell, and Joe, you and I both saw Thor Ragnarok, the third and final MCU movie for the year.
And it Ragnarok'd.
And rolled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
Yeah, it was very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Definitely influenced by Guardians.
No, you don't think.
when the action sequence was scored to Led Zeppelin...
I didn't see the movie. I want to. I just gotta have the time to. But I'm like,
did you see the trailers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You saw the movie. It's like, I mean, literally exact. Like you already know everything that happens.
Well, I figured out the beats. That's the thing. The trailer kind of shows you the beats. But I definitely know there's like one or two things it didn't show me, which is cool. When I like saw sort of spoilerish things and like saw end results, I'm like, I wonder how that happens. But I understand, like, the flow. There's nothing crazy where, like, oh yeah, then Thor, like, you know, fucking pulled out a gun and shot Loki in the face. Like, what? Like...
Right.
So, that I know didn't happen. But, I definitely know that it this movie is just, like, what if Guardians had, like, Thor in it, and just, like, this is it.
I mean, I gotta tell you, the whole vibe of the movie, I was expecting the Guardians to show up in the post-credits. Like, I really thought that... I didn't read any spoilers, so I was like, oh, man, maybe Guardians are going to show up, because they basically made a Guardians movie with Thor, like you said.
I definitely was expecting, like, because if you saw, like, the leaked Infinity War trailer, I was expecting, like, at least, like, that first scene from that Infinity War trailer to be, like, maybe the post-credits scene for this movie. Right.
But now we know how that happens. Now, at least, we have a pretty good understanding of how that happens. But yeah, I mean, honestly, my only knock on Ragnarok is kind of my knock on the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general, which is just it's very funny, you know, and the comedy is great, but a lot of the time it feels like things could be taken a little more seriously. Like, it doesn't mean you gotta go DC level and make it a fucking joke by being so melodramatic. But it's just like, you know, they could benefit from some sort of sense of urgency or actual drama.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they do a better job in this than Guardians Volume 2. 100%. Guardians Volume 2, like, every time there was, like, a dramatic scene, like, or, like, a supposedly dramatic scene, there would always be, like, a, like, joke at the end of it, to, like, just, like, the scene goes on for, like, 10 seconds too long, and there's, like, a joke at the end, like, kind of, like, just, like, undermines everything they just tried to do.
You could literally end like, every scene of Guardians 2 with, when it.
Like, yeah, like Drax will wearing like yell something about his nipples or something.
Yeah, It was a little much.
So like, but here, I mean, here there's like scenes that like are given like slightly more weight. So and they don't have like a like weird punchline at the end of them.
For
so
sure, for
definitely,
sure. And
definitely improving that aspect.
And I'm definitely agreeing that it was much. It was not nearly to the extent of Guardians 2, which I still enjoyed very much. By the way, I'm not shitting on Guardians.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, without you know, totally sucking this movie's dick. Like, I will say that I think that the Marvel universe in general could benefit from just having a little more, like you said, a little more weight to some of these things and a little more seriousness at times. But I have a feeling like things are probably about to shift to slightly more serious as we get to. Infinity War. Because it's going to be like actual deaths, and you know, there's no fucking Dragon Balls to wish cats back with, you know. So
yeah.
So we'll see, but yeah, great movie though, and especially because it was a Thor movie. I mean, let's face it, Thor movies are kind of rough. Right?
Yeah, this is like by like such a huge margin, like the best Thor movie. Like there are two don't even compete with this
one. And I don't mind the first Thor either, but I don't have a problem with it. But just objectively, like if you told me I can pick a Marvel movie out of the collection to watch, like it's 0 times out of 10 gonna be Thor 1 or Thor 2. I thought one thing that you can say right off the bat about this movie is that it's more likable and more enjoyable in the first, 10 minutes? 5 minutes, even?
Mm-hmm.
Than, like, any of the other Thor movies were? You know, like, just that first scene
like,
with the narration and everything, like, it was great.
Yeah. And then, like, the opening action sequence, like, it's, like, they, like, Taika Waititi, like, he, like, unlocked, like, what, like, Mjolnir, like, the same way that the Russos, like, unlocked, like, Cap's shield. Like, this is, like, the best, like, Thor does so much insane, awesome shit with Mjolnir in, like, the opening scene.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Just
Just like, hey, Thor, should we get you your fucking hammer back? Nah.
the thing that defines you as a person? Nah.
Yeah.
Well, he just has that conversation with Korg, where he's trying to pick out a new weapon. And it's like, you seem like you have a very intimate relationship with that hammer. Oh, speaking of which, Korg is
runaway
the fucking
character
best.
Of the year.
Like,
yeah, he's the new Groot.
Voiced by Taika Waititi himself, Taika Waititi also did like the motion capture for him.
By the way, five minutes of him talking, I was convinced it was Brett McKenzie.
I thought it might have been Rhys Darby.
But I was like, okay, that's definitely a fucking flight of the Concorde right now. Like, it has to
be. Yeah, because I was trying to figure out who it was, and then it was like, it's Taika himself, okay. Man, oh my god, he's so fucking good. Just like, oh hey, I'm Korg, this is my friend Mike, he's an insect. He's a little insect guy with a pincers.
It really did have that, like, flight of the Concorde sort of, like, and I know that's just because he's another fellow New Zealander, but, like, it had that sensibility, just like not only in the delivery, obviously, but just in like the style of humor and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect.
Just him talking about his like previous rebellion that failed. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, me and my mom, we went to like to get some pamphlets, and then my mom's boyfriend was there.
Yeah. Like some of those random shit. It's so great.
And then also, I mean, obviously Jeff Goldblum also just amazing.
I don't know how they got that performance out of him, because it's all, because the reason I say that is like, you know, when you watch a straight to DVD Seagal movie And you're like, does he know that he's a meme? Like, does he understand that he's a joke? Or is this really him being serious? Like, you're not sure if Seagal's trolling you?
Yeah.
That's what this is like with Jeff Goldblum, where it's like, did they tell Jeff Goldblum to do Jeff Goldblum? Or did they just let the camera roll and this is who he is? Like, I found myself
Uber, he's like Uber Goldblum. It's my birthday! Right. Yeah.
Zach is describing a scene where it felt like Jeff Goldblum himself directed it, where he's like DJing.
Yes.
Okay, he just randomly starts like, he just appears behind a DJ booth and just starts, it's just like, and he's like, he's having a conversation and he just like continues the conversation behind a DJ booth for like no reason.
Literally no reason, other than to show that he's like, everybody loves him. Which at first you think he's just this like very cool dude, but he's obviously got some evil intentions and whatnot that are revealed later in the movie. But
he's never like overt, like he's never like overtly evil. No, he's like super nice and just
kind of a bastard. He's just kind of a dictator. Like, that's really it. He rules with an iron fist, but like you know, whatevs. But yeah, that whole like introduction with him is so great.
So like Thor's going to like the intro tunnel.
Prepare to meet the leader.
And there's like Willy Wonka music.
Yeah, that was good.
They understand. So like, was it actual Willy Wonka music or something like that?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. I think they were basically like playing. It was like, it's supposed to be like the scene from the tunnel from Willy Wonka.
It was 100% ripped off from that, but I think it was actually the same music too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that was actually in the credits and shit, but, I mean, that's not public domain, but it's basically as close to public domain as you could get. There's no, like, Willy Wonka universe that you have to, like, worry about stepping on toes.
And I'm just thinking, like, this is a world where, like, Willy Wonka exists to them to the point where they reference it in their fight. Like, you know, they're like, oh, that's a great entrance music, let's keep that.
Yeah. Well, oh, let's talk about Hulk as well, because I have to say, I wasn't mad at it, but I wasn't as big of a fan of it as I thought it would be. You know, I was ready to see some, like, Planet Hulk level shit going on. But other than the Thor fight, in the Gladiator fight, I really don't get, really don't get that much Hulk going on. You know, I mean, I as far as, like, action and stuff, like, and I thought, it was kind of strange how they just go from Hulk being, like, this unstoppable menace, basically, the last time we saw him in an Avengers flick, to now all of a sudden he's just, like, this big, like, pissed-off, back-talking four-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was funny, but it's just kind of like, this is, a, like, I understand this Hulk from the comics and shit, but, like, to someone who's maybe not a fan of the comics are just kind of like, when did Hulk become like a prick? Like, why is it, what? Why is he just like a pissed off adolescent now?
Well, I got a question about that, because it took him like Black Widow to be like, hey buddy, sun's coming down, to like calm him down.
Thor called back, like, at one point, like, Thor just keeps saying it over and over again, and it's like, at that point, like, he's turned back into Bruce, and he's like, Bruce is like, shut up! You're freaking me out!
Like, for the littlest thing.
Sun's going down.
That's funny. Like, they recognize how weird that was.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, there's, like, a lot of... Some of that is the best humor, in my opinion, some of that is the best humor in the movie. Like, when he's, you know, when he's Banner again, and he's like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the math, he's like, Jesus Christ, like, I was Hulk for, like, 3 years? Like, oh my god. Like, why am I wearing Tony's clothes? Like, it's just so so bizarre, but funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, he was Hulk for 3 years?
Yeah, dude. How long was I out? And Thor's like, Like, he doesn't want to tell him. Like, he's do the math in his head and shit, because they find like a video that was recorded for him. It was like, it was a fucking Scarlett Johansson, it was Black Widow, like, kind of trying to get him to come back and turn the ship around, you know. And he's like, again, he's doing the math and he's like, oh god, like, I just never stopped being Hulk. He thinks it's like that day. Like, he's got no fucking idea. Great.
And, yeah, also, one of our favorite people on Earth, Carl Urban, is in this movie, and he's doing awesome Carl Urban stuff.
He's basically the same villain as he was in, like, a Pitch Net, Pitch Black, but the other one.
He was the bad guy in Priest.
He was in,
Red?
No, you don't talk about it. The one where it's like Vin Diesel's character.
Chronicles of Riddick. Yeah, well, I was trying to figure out if like Carl Urban was like doing, if that's his natural voice, or if he was doing a Jason Statham impression. Like, he sounded like straight up like Jason Statham.
And another thing I was kind of wishing was that Ray Stevenson had been in this, so he could have had Judge Dredd and the Punisher.
Ooh.
Yep.
Alas, it was not meant to be.
Oh yeah, yeah. I hope no one out there is fans of the Warriors 3.
Yeah,
were they in this, or are they just kind of
briefly?
Oh no.
Yeah, that did not last. It's like, oh, it's okay. They have this under control. Jesus Christ. Okay, never mind.
I figured something would happen to them to not let this happen, and it's like, yep, written off.
Yeah, there's a lot of writing happening in this movie. Like, even the... I was just going to say, even, Chris, you saw Doctor Strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, like, the after-credit scene with Thor and everything?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's in this movie. It's just expanded. Like, and it's fucking hilarious, by the way. That was mm-hmm. great when he keeps, like, teleporting him with the beer, like, the beer spilling all over him. And he's like, God damn it, like, stop.
Yeah, Doctor Strange doesn't, like, he doesn't walk around his sanctum. He just, like, teleports everywhere, and they teleport Thor with him, so Thor just, like, has no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, he's got this, like, giant, like, liter mug of beer that, like, every time he's getting teleported, it's just, like, going all over the place. But, yeah, like, it kind of starts, it doesn't start with that, but that's towards the, beginning of the movie or whatever. But... Mm-hmm. Forget why I was talking about that. I'm sure I had a point. I was just too caught up with laughing at beer flying all over the place over Thor.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, Doctor Strange just puts Loki in, like, this, like, never-ending, like fall. Like,
oh, yeah, he, like, fucking like, falling dimension. But he just, like, he doesn't send him anywhere. He's like, oh, fuck you, just, like, fall. He's like, I've been falling for a half hour. It's like a fucking Family Guy joke. It's great.
Hmm. Oh, and the way like Thor, because like one of the dangling questions that that Ragnarok answers is like, is anyone gonna figure out that Loki is Odin right now? And the way Thor like figures that out is like hilarious. It's like he's staging this like play of the Dark World.
Yeah.
With some like insane cameos.
Does Natalie Portman show up? Because like I haven't seen her.
No.
But an equally, cameo.
There's a line where, there's some girl on the street that, like, takes a photo with Thor, and he's like, sorry, Jane, that Jane Foster dumped you. He's like, it was mutual dumping.
Yeah. Oh, they broke up? Why is this?
Okay,
why
that bitch doesn't want to be in the movies.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they have Valkyrie now, although... They don't really, like...
But no one cares.
There's no, like, romantic thing with, like, either Thor or Hulk, but... I like how, like, surly drunk she was for most of the movie. Like, especially like, her opening scene where, like, she, like... She's doing, like, the badass, like, hero walk out of the ship and just, like, falls off the trunk. Rescuing Thor from, like, these, like, weird, like, scavenger people. But yeah, so, I mean, overall, awesome, I think I liked it better than Guardians 2, but I'm trying to figure out if it's, like, if this or Spider-Man is, like, the best MCU movie of the year.
Yeah.
Instead, 100%, the best Thor movie. Like, because like it fully like it's Chris Hemsworth gets to be like all like ultimate Thor. Like, as far and as far as like the like humor and like action wise. So also I think something else we both checked out since the last podcast, Joe, is a Call of Duty World War II.
And did you guys beat it? Because I heard that game is like 4 hours long.
20 minutes long. Yeah.
I beat it like one day.
Yeah. So. I mean, I basically beat it in like 3 sittings, but like one sitting was like a half hour, you know, where it's like, ah, shit, you know. Mm-hmm.
I think the campaign's like 6 hours or something. It's a typical like Call of Duty campaign length.
And it's enough to have some fun. Maybe even play through it again, you know, but.
Mm-hmm.
You're not buying it for the single-player replay value, you know?
Great rental.
Oh, hell of a... That was a great $6.
If you just want to play the single-player, like, that's how I played, like, pretty much every single Call of Duty except Infinite Warfare. Yeah. But yeah, like, super solid campaign, like, some cool... Like, you get to play, like, Normandy again and, like, the Battle of the Bulge.
Well, I mean, just the landing of, like, at Normandy Forest. Is so brutal. Like, the first time you see action... You know, like, fucking heads exploding and shit, and you're like, okay, like, I am in the shit, you know?
This is not PS2 Medal of Honor.
Right. Yeah.
Although, I think we definitely both agree, like, there is, like, at times, like, it just gets ridiculous. Like, it's, like, Uncharted, or, like, you were saying, like, it's, like, a Family Guy joke.
Right.
Like, there's parts where it's, like, so insanely over the top as far as the action goes. Yeah, it's just, like... It just does not fit World War II at all.
Chris basically said that, like, there are a couple of sequences that feel like it's out of, like, a Family Guy, like, chicken fight.
Where
it's, like, so over the top. You're like, what the fuck? Like, I'm talking about one sequence where a train derails. And it's like, if you just had the train derail, that would be dramatic enough. But it's like, the train derailed and then it goes, like, full Michael Bay on you. And it's just like, Jesus Christ. Like,
it's like... Yeah, it's like your character like ends up on his back, and then it's just like 5 minutes, just like train cars like flying over you and like flying everywhere, and like just
like
exploding.
It feels
and, like
a joke as it's happening, and they're like, "Oh, it's done. Oh my god, it's not done. Like, oh, how is this still going on? And furthermore, how is he not dead? Like, after all that."
This isn't like modern day super soldier training, whatever. It's kind of like you're just a guy. It's a farm boy that's...
You're just a farm boy in khakis, like, with a rifle. You know?
And you're just, like... It's, like... You just, like... You got your Jeep stuck on the front of the train that you were, like, this, like, mile-long German weapon train.
Like, it was one simple, like, issued Jeep that derailed, like, a super train.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those, like, 1940, you know, GI Jeeps.
Like Willy's Jeep, yeah.
You know, barely any doors that close, all that kind of shit.
I didn't know trains were so... Either, like, those Jeeps are, like, made out of fucking, like, you know, vibranium, or that train is, like, really shit.
Yeah, that kind of struck me, too, because I was like, this is Hitler's, like, super train, which is, like, the fucking... That's not some, like... I mean, a regular locomotive would have torn that thing to shreds, but, like, I'm surprised that this didn't just, like, explode on impact. Like, I was waiting for you to, like, bail out, or to have, like, some shitty QuickTime event where you had to, like, jump onto the train or something, but I was like, no, he just got hit T-boned and dragged for a good 100 yards. And then the fucking tornado of chaos.
Yeah. And there's, like, another Jeep chase later. It's also, like, just nuts. Like.
Yeah.
Both Jeep sequences are, like, just really, like, kind of, like, alright, this is kind of, like, this does not feel like a World War II game at all.
Yeah, I agree.
But there's, like, the actual, like, battle, like, when you're in the actual battles, like, the Battle of the Bulge or Battle of, like, Hurtgen Forest or whatever, like, those are all awesome.
Yeah.
And then the, like, the mission where you're, like, undercover in Paris, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, oh, that was really great.
You have to do some like light detective work and some like light memorization because like you have like there's like Nazi like officers like asking questions and you have to like give them
the
right answer.
I thought that was a really great palate cleanser, you know, especially the first part of that level where like you said you have to look at your like fake your forged documents and all that stuff. And
there's like three key things you have to memorize, and then they'll ask you like, oh, who sent you, or like, where were you born, like, what's your commanding officer's name?
Right. Yeah, all that stuff I thought was very cool, and again, it was a great palate cleanser, because it's like, oh, this is still, it still feels very much like a Call of Duty game, except the action is obviously considerably slowed down, but it still feels important, like when Nazis would question you, like, it carried weight to it, and you're like, oh man, is shit about to go down? Then obviously the second part of that level is just full of, like, FUBAR status, which is a lot of fun.
But get a shotgun and start blasting through hallways.
Well, those are the best moments in the game, is when you get the fucking the trench gun or the double barrel shotgun, you know, like the farm gun as I call it, and just
with like incendiary rounds.
Jesus Christ, that felt like too much. Like, I know that those existed, but I was like, I'm just like throwing Super Mario fireballs at people right now. Like, this is. This is too much.
Or just get like a straight up flamethrower.
Yeah, the flamethrower at least is a little bit. It kind of makes you a target too, you know. So that that's good. But when you just have like the flaming shotgun rounds, it's like, holy fuck. There's no way to stop me. I can't be stopped.
Well, and also, I mean, all the Call of Duty games look amazing, but, like, yeah, it looks, like, everything, the graphics are incredible, like, and, like, the motion capture and, like, the, like facial animation stuff is, like, it's, like, super uncanny valley. Like, Josh Duhamel is, like, it's creepy hell, like, how much he looks like Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I thought the Kevin Spacey thing was like, wow, the future is now, but this one took that to an even greater level, I would say.
I'm beta getting it only because, like, Black Friday flyers have leaked where they're doing, like, a Call of Duty bundle where you can get
Infinite
World War II, for, like, $60, which is, like, $30 a game. And I'm just like, how bad is Call of Duty 2 where, like, they're lowering it to $30 already?
I don't think it's bad. I think it's just Walmart getting that exclusive and trying to... Like, I think that's just them wanting full price for a game and saying, okay, how do we do this? Let's take something that we would sell for, like, I don't know, $10. You know, eat the $10. And then they're probably making 12 on the sale of the game anyway, you know? So it's like, all right, fuck it.
So I thought about it because, like, I heard the multiplayer is a little bit better than Infinity Warfare, but... It's like that's
well. It's just well, good that you can't like, fucking like rocket jump and shit like that. Like if that just wasn't
wall jump and like
all of
slide
game,
and yeah,
yeah.
You're shooting robots half the time. I don't fucking care. Go away.
Yeah, that's
the
one thing
Roomba
I just.
Army.
That's why I didn't really want to get Infinity Warfare. I played Call of Duty Black Ops, which was like, all right, I had enough of that. I played that for like a year, and I was like, done. And then, as soon as they introduced Infinity Warfare, I was like, no.
Yeah.
God. Black Ops 3 was so bad.
It was
a single-player campaign.
Story-wise is everywhere.
Yeah,
story-wise, that game
was
a garbage fire.
But the multiplayer was fun, but I also skipped Advanced Warfighter, where you could still bounce around, so I was like, alright, I can't do, like, 4 years of this.
Yeah. I would definitely check it out. I mean, at least Redbox it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a solid... Call of Duty.
Oh, for sure.
One of the better campaigns.
That's the selling point for me because I just fucking hate online multiplayer by and large. Mm-hmm. Because for every like great session you have to sit through like 15 shit eating ones, and it's like that to me just isn't fun, you know.
Oh, did you do zombies at all, Joe?
It was retarded. Like I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It's just it's so like they've added somewhat like it's just so much
it's
like
just
like
bullshit.
It's all just like gibberish.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's just like loadouts
like
and
70-year-old man. Like I had like, no idea what was going on. Yeah. Everything was a microtransaction. I was like, how did I just spend real money? Like, no, close the PlayStation store. Like, what is this? What the you goddamn kids? You know, and I'm like, why am I playing as Ving Rhames? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yep.
You know, I played that for many... I think I played it for about 5 minutes, died once, and was like, done. Like, don't need it.
Yep.
I tried it.
Yeah, I tried, like... Yeah, I tried like one round before I brought it back to Redbox. Yeah. And then I was like, all right, this is still the same. It's basically nothing has changed in a sense like Black Ops 1.
Right. Well, but even that at least was a little bit more like straightforward. It's like, hey, survive the map. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is like, do you want to unlock a new area? Do you want to unlock like a crazy potion that brings you back to life? Do you want to increase the girth of your penis? I'm like, what is any of this? Like, sure, okay. What's that? Just keep meleeing the zombies? All right, pop, pop. God, they take two to go down, you know?
Man, the 80s one was, like, even more insane than, like, this one. Like, it had so much, like, there was, like, 10 different currencies you could get, and, like, you're, like, building different currency, like, you're building different parts of things, like, you're getting, like, medallions and robot parts, and, like, you had cards, and you had, like, power, you had cards, and then you had power-ups on top of the cards, and then you had, like, loadouts, and...
No, thank you. But, like you said, great campaign, you know, and I think part of the reason... or part of what allowed them to have such a great campaign, I feel like, is because it is so stripped down. And that's not to take away from the significance of World War II or the importance of World War II or the sacrifice that, you know, these real-life men and, I guess, women, whatever, but, you know, all these men made in real life. Like, I'm not saying that World War II isn't as, like, serious or whatever, but what I am saying is that it was a different kind of war. It was much more simplistic than, you know, the sort of future war bullshit that they had going on in the last couple of games. So I think that taking it down to its sort of bare minimum without going so far back as to do World War One like Battlefront did. As good as that game was, like, this is a game where you have a few different kinds of machine guns. You know, like, it's a little more compelling. The battle, not like you're using fucking muskets like in a battlefield or whatever. Although there is still bolt action shit going on in this, which is fun, but you know, you pick up the waffle gun and unload 30 rounds into a guy.
Mm-hmm. The M1 Grand still like the best.
Yeah.
The best weapon. Just every time that thing clanks and you, like, you're when the clip ejects, it's just like,
so,
oh,
satisfying.
Man,
yeah.
So good.
It's so satisfying. And the sniping was actually quite enjoyable in this for notoriously shitty weaponry. You know, like, fucking World War II snipers did not have a good time. You know, it's not like they're using the fucking, like, robotic assisted aiming systems, you know, auto calibration and shit we have today. This was literally like, how hard do you reckon the wind is blowing? I don't know. Just take the shot. Ah, fuck, I missed him. Like,
just,
you know,
keep shooting.
Yeah, just fucking spray him. Like, and there was no calling in, like, Warhammer to drop down. This was just like, fuck. Took me three hours to shoot that Nazi.
I do miss, like, in the multiplayer, though, that if you can wreck a whole team in the first 5 minutes and call, like, a tactical nuke, that's always hilarious. Because I know, like, Infinity Warfare had, like, a tactical, like, de-atomizer. That was, like, the same thing. And for World War II, you can't just have that. We're just like, invent the nuke! Do it now!
Yeah, Hiroshima, no!
Drop the big boy!
But, yeah, stripped down to, like, you know, the bare essentials that you need for it to be great. The story was a little bit cliche at times, but not in a way that was unforgivable. You know, it was kind of like, oh, you ready for this war, farm boy? Like, yes. But for any time that you kind of felt like, oh, come on. There were, like, five times that you're like, oh, that was cool, you know?
The only thing about the story, you only play as, like, one guy, right?
I mean, there's one mission where you play as someone else.
There's two. Like, you play as someone different for, like, the, like, espionage mission, then, like, you go into, like, the... Actually, three times. Cause, like, you play as, like, a pilot for, like, a flying section, and then you play...
Yeah.
And then you're, like a tank commander guy. Like
I forgot about those other missions. Yeah, you play as Perez, the tank driver. That was kind of fun. The tank battle. You know, I'm glad they didn't.
It was more like a duel. It was like a duel. It was like a tank duel against panzers.
Yeah, and it was just kind of cool to, like, break up that level a little bit. The flight, the air combat was goddamn horrendous though. I don't know if that was just me, but it was like, what is happening? It's like, speed up, slow down, go higher, go lower, kill the Germans. I'm like, what? Like, what Germans? There are no Germans.
Well, all you had to do was, like, get close enough, and then you could, like, lock in. Like, you press, like, R2 to lock into them, and you just, like, auto-flew, basically, and you were just, like, blasting away at them.
Auto-flew? God damn it. I thought I was steering. I was like, ah, this is so hard. Like, 5 minutes to shoot down like, one plane.
It's like if you got close enough, you could pull like R2 in, then it would like kind of get it would like zoom in, and then like you would basically not have to like turn as much, and you could like just.
I can't tell you how many times they're like, "No friendly fire." I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm flying against the wind here into my own fleet, like just following these goddamn like Nazi pilots." Like, cause I guess you're supposed to wait for them to circle back around. I was like, "Fuck that! America's coming," you know. So I'm coming for justice. I don't know how many of my own men I killed in the process.
They didn't do your damn bad. Beat yourself
those
planes.
Pretty much that's what I was expecting.
America's coming.
Yeah. I gotta wait for no German
take
to turn
Jerry.
Around.
Take this, you lousy Krauts.
See, I kind of want... the original Call of Duty, if you ever played it, was very, like, respectful, and it was slow, and wasn't as, like... get ready to defeat the Germans by yourself kind of thing, where it became like, oh, like, you gotta have these Rambo-type missions where you're doing, like, crazy, like you said, Michael Bay explosions, and I'm like, huh, I'm pretty sure if you show this game to, like, a veteran, they'll, like, shoot it off. They'll be like, no, and, like, that wasn't what it was.
Yeah. Well, especially in some of, the Death Factory level, the Battle of the Bulge, like you said earlier, Zach, like, a lot of these are, like, proper battles where it's like, all right, dig in, you know, like get down in this trench or like get behind this this cover, and you're gonna stay, I mean, hopefully not pinned down, but like you're gonna basically stay on this front line and defend, like, especially in the Battle of the Bulge, you know, with the waves of like Germans coming in, you know, it's like nonstop. So it's kind of like, it feels like a real like proper battle and not just like a, hey, look, there are four Germans over there. You know? Though that infiltration mission is pretty fucking cool. Base and everything. I was like, call me Snake.
So, Joe, did you check out anything else?
Nah. I was just last night at South Park, which was good shit.
Did you see anything, Chris?
Nah. I'm just thinking anything I saw that was worth talking about. Probably like The Good Doctor. And it's just like on. And I watched it. Like, not all of it. I watched the part where it's like, there's a formula to the show where, like, a crisis happens. Some crazy, like, House situation. Since it's written by House, like, same writer, it's always like, crisis happens. They go to this, like, ER place, right? The team shows up. Because it's not just, like, the guy. Like, it's him and, like, a whole surgical team. And it goes through the whole routine of, like, the head surgeon figuring out who to assign the thing to. And it's never the special doctor. Until, like, he says something. And he goes, like, I found a solution. And then, like, they listen to him. They don't believe him. He gets one of his coworkers to, like, say it for him. They believe that coworker, and then it's like, at the end, it's like, the doctor, actually, it's not my original thought, it's the other guy. And they've been doing that for, like, 3 episodes so far. So, yeah, like, it's, I'm not sure if they're ever going to hit a point where they write themselves on a corner. Or if it's like, yeah, it's a one-season thing. Didn't it get, like, renewed? I think as of the culling they had, it's tolerable. Like I say, it's not a terrible show, but it's one of those things where in a world of medical dramas, it's the only thing that's different because no one tries to like, because he's not like trying to look for romance. So it's very like to the point where a lot of shows these days, even no matter what it is, it's kind of like, oh, you're attractive. I'm attractive. And we're doing a job like, That's one thing I don't like most days, where they kind of shoehorn in a romance plot. But this is kind of like, there are romance plots, but not with the main point of the story. So far.
all they had to do is introduce, like, another, like, special doctor that also has, like, the same thing he has, and it's just like, ah, crap. They're gonna fall in love.
Yeah, I don't think medical drama's not my... I don't watch any of the medical drama shows.
Well, of the ones that came out in the last year, it's like, at least it's not a Chicago ER or Code Black. I always use those two shows when they were like show promos.
I know. I think last year was the one where it was like the like weird high tech hospital. It was like this like Silicon Valley guy who like built the hospital, and there was like the old crotchety doctor who was like, I hate this technology. I'm gonna use old school stuff. Just like,
what is going on? Well, because the one guy had like Asperger's. And then he just was rich, and he also was dying from a disease, so you want to do as much good as you possibly can. And the show just ended before, like, they can kind of get to a point. That was, like, the problem. It just kept on dragging on, and I was like, nope.
So, actually, the only thing I've been checking out still, besides regular TV stuff and Thor and Call of Duty, is more South Park, Fresh But Whole. It's so good. I just beat the like Professor Chaos, like the kind of like the like there's like a big mission with like taking out Professor Chaos. And, like, and Butters' plot is just so fucking ridiculous.
I love Butters.
And like he's constantly calling, like, he's constantly saying Coon Friends instead of Coon and Friends, and like Cartman just gets more and more pissed off. He's like, God damn it, Butters, you fucking asshole. Like, Coon and Friends. It's like, you won't stop me, Coon Friends. And then I think as you go on you unlock more like team members so that you can like bring into battle. So I think I got everybody unlocked, because like obviously, eventually, you the Freedom Pals become unlocked, so you get to, like, fight along with, like, Tool Shed and Tupperware and Wonder Tweak. And then, there's also, like, there's a bunch of side missions with Wendy, who, her superhero persona is a Call Girl. And, like, she's all of her superpowers are, like a cell phone base. Like, she's, like, docks people and, like, calls flash mobs in, and, like, one of her powers is like she like puts like the phone destroyer app on people's phones and they blow up. So like you target someone and all of a sudden their phone will be like phone destroyer and they'll blow up and cause damage. And then like there's a part where pretty early on you have to like rescue Clyde from like raisins. Because he's stuck there, and then so you like fight the Raisins Girls, and like for the rest of the game they're like super, they're like the Raisin Girls are trying to like murder you, or like all just, like run into like random mobs of Raisin Girls trying to kill you. But like you basically like at one point you run into this like impossible like fight that you can't win, but then Wendy jumps in like hacks all their like social media and they like, run off. They're like I have no Facebook friends. They just like run off.
I mean, that's cool commentary on, like, two things. Like, using the South Park world and then, like, tying in kind of the our parody of our crazy world today. I actually started rewatching old South Parks, and it's, like, the 2009 to 2010 years where, like, they were kind of cherry-picking topics where, I think after that, they just started every like, pop thing that was trendy they just made like an episode off of really fast. Was it like right 2011 they started doing that, like they would watch the news for a week and then just shoot an episode out immediately right after?
Pretty much South Park.
Yeah, they're doing that. That was their formula now, so it's cool where like the, again, that's the other thing about the game, like that's the sucky part, is that the game isn't like just like that, because they're like only like they're 3 years behind since Fractured But Whole. No, 2 years behind? 1 year behind? I forgot like how to lay.
Well, they have stuff from last season. They have the member berries in there and like PC Principal and stuff. So they're like they have super recent stuff in the game. And PC Principle teaches you how to, like, if someone uses a microaggression against you in, like, combat, you get, like, a free hit. So, like, someone will be like, I'm gonna kill you, sissy, and then it's just like, microaggression! And you get the punch in the face. And then, but it's also, like, it seems like, now that I'm kind of getting, like, the middle, like, or, like, kind of, like, middle part of the game, there's a bunch of, like, callbacks, like, earlier, like earlier deep cuts, more deep cut South Park stuff. Like, there's some characters that come back that, like, haven't been on the show in a while. Which is pretty awesome. So, yeah, definitely, I mean, if you're a South Park fan, like, it's 100%, like, it's a must-play, so. Actually, speaking of South Park games, like, the Phone Destroyer game also came out today, we're recording this, so. Which I played, like, 2 minutes of. It seems kind of cool so far. It's, the combat's way different, like, it's more like you're sending, like, you're kind of, like, sending people out in front of you to, like, and it's, they kind of just, like, go in a straight line and, like, attack whatever's in front of them. So it's not, like, the grid, like, RPG battle system of, like, Fractured but Whole.
I think it looks more like Plants versus Zombies, where it's just...
Because you're basically sending out, like... minions ahead of you. But, like, you need to, like, there's, like, a... You're still a new kid, and then you're, like, custom new kid, and then you're, like, another person across, like, the field has, like, a phone that's, like, also sending out minions, and so you basically have to use, like, cards to, like, send out minions and, like, attack that person. But it's also, like, it starts out with, like, cowboys and Indians, because, like, they're, like, trying, like, South Park games trying to feel like, they're, like, all arguing about, like, what they should play next. So it's, like, cowboys versus Indians, and they're, like, robots versus aliens, and, like, kind of goes, like, Jews versus Christians. But I think eventually, like, it just turns, like, it's, like, everything versus everything. Because, like, you get, like, cards that'll be, like, different, like, it's, like, Cartman is, like, I think everyone has, every character, like, has, like, a bunch of different, like, versions of them you can get. But, yeah, it seems cool. I'll be checking out more. Definitely play for, like, I think it might get, like, microtransaction heavy. Like, there's, like, a warning at the beginning, like, instead of, like, the South Park, like, impression, like, disclaimer, they have, like, this, like, microtransaction disclaimer, like, this game has real in-app purchases. So I'm sure there's, like, buying card packs and, like, unlocking characters and, like, a bunch of, like, random stuff.
Well, Zach, it's been a while since you played a mobile game that you threw money at, so. Time to jump back in on that horse.
I think this is actually more of a game than, like, Family Guy or Simpsons. But yeah, so that's gonna do it for me, and that'll do it for this week's show. If you want to head over to the site, we got a Thor Ragnarok review. We got a new Gamebox 2.0 article up, speaking of games, so we got thoughts on South Park and Call of Duty and some other games we got to check out over the last month or so. And all the regular stuff is up there as well. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Store and Stitcher.com.